Good afternoon. I'm Kieran Oliver, and this is my co-speaker, Bruce Rogers. He's got the check-in clipboard. If you didn't put an X by your name when you came in, would you please do that when Bruce gives you the opportunity? Thank you all for coming to this seminar over lunch. I think it's a bit challenging to do this, but we can do it, right? We can do it. The mission of IFI has to do very much with hospitality. Could anybody tell me the mission statement of IFI? Say that again, please.
Science of international students.
Okay.
Feel at home.
Pardon? Yes. To extend life-changing hospitality and friendship to international students out of respect for Christ. And notice it all starts with hospitality. Yeah, and several of you said it, but in different words. Anybody want to offer us a definition of hospitality? Yes?
Loving strangers.
Loving strangers, okay. By?
Welcoming them. Treating them like a friend.
By treating them like a friend. I like that. And your name?
James.
James? Okay. Thank you, James. Anybody else want to offer any other thoughts on how to define hospitality? Yes?
Meeting their physical, practical needs.
Okay. Meeting these folks' physical, practical needs. Yes? Was there anybody else? Okay. I think you have it. You have it well. Okay. Now, the goal that we hope all this will result in is to see God's love extended throughout the world by partnering with spiritually vibrant international students. So when the new students arrive and we have the opportunity to extend hospitality in the form of, say, picking them up at the airport, providing temporary housing for 1 to 4 or 5 days, we don't know when we first meet them whether they're going to be a spiritually vibrant international student or not. And the wonderful thing is we can play a part in that. So I want to go around the room and just have you stand up, say your name, and whether you have hosted an international student or scholar or family in your home. So, Xia, let's start with you.
So, my name is Xia, and I have hosted international. My roommate is also staff on my side. So, we hosted about students from 23 countries in last year.
Yay. Yes.
And I teach in August, but I live in the International Parking Community, so I've hosted several of my neighbors in my house.
Wow. Okay.
And,
okay. Yes.
My name is Anita. We live about an hour from here, so I haven't been able to do frequent hosting, but a lot of holiday hosting and just special weekends where we invite students in.
Great.
A long period of time. Started about 25 years.
Wow. Okay. Thank you, Anita. Joy Grace.
Hi, I'm Joy Grace, and I also just moved here. I haven't hosted students in my home personally, but I live very close to Shia, so sometimes we still host.
Okay, that's a good arrangement. Yes.
My name is Nancy, and I have not yet hosted anyone in my home. However, I'm in up from the airport, and my neighbor has hosted them.
Okay.
In my home.
Okay, sounds like you've come up with a workable arrangement there, Nancy. Thank you. Yes.
My husband, Sam, and I've hosted many types of students over the years. High school exchange students for 10 years, and then we started picking people up here for it and hosting their folks and the community to get adjusted, help them shop and set up for apartments. And we also do the trips, the funerals, and things like that.
Well, thank you for mentioning that other part of our hospitality, trips to scenic or historic places. Yes?
I'm Janet, and I hosted international students who I applied for about 8 years now.
Okay, great. Thank you, Janet. Yes?
So I'm Monica, and we've done a little hosting in our home, having for a video or something like that.
Okay.
I'm on Ben's, but not too much yet.
Okay. And then, James, your table.
I'm James. I don't think I've ever officially listened
to. Okay. You came to the right place.
I'm Paige. I also have not hosted anybody in my home, but James and I have gone on the Huffington Post trip last year, and that was
Okay.
I'm Becky, and I hosted in our home for holidays before the pandemic. So.
Okay. Okay. That does kind of affect things.
It does.
Yes. Sue?
Hi, Sue. This is my husband, Keith. We've been IFI volunteers for 15 years now. I have hosted a number of people. We actually have a mother and a daughter from China living with us now since the pandemic.
Is it Lee?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Okay.
Her monkey 10-year-old daughter, Mia, so I feel like I'm going to see a grandparent episode.
Okay. Jesse?
I have hosted a very kind of people from the student in Denmark. When I was a student in Sweden, I hosted a couple of students who were attending.
Okay. Well, Jesse can offer a very international hosting experience. Bruce?
Hi everyone, my name is Bruce Rogers, and I happen to have a house near campus, and I taught at OSU international students for many years, and I've been involved in homestays and meals and trips also.
Yeah. Thank you, Bruce. Mike?
I'm Mike Cranack. Hosted for about 12 years. We've had over 70 people in our house. We've had 11 at one time.
Oh my goodness.
Mostly all girls and crazy. But the bigger thing that I'm doing is I'm involved in the IC program. So we hosted a lot of folks long term up to a year and stuff like that. And that's sort of what we're trying to do at this point.
Thank you, Mike. Well, I think that most of you could probably lead this discussion, it sounds like. But let me ask you this. What is one of the more interesting hosting experiences that you've had? Now, there are a few people in the room who said they've not yet hosted. Let's not scare them off, okay? But what is one of your more interesting hosting experiences? Yes.
This is a combo story from me and my neighbor.
Okay.
So I had to go pick up a husband and wife and their son, 8-year-old son.
Okay.
And they had signed a facility for something with the University Village. So I took them to there to drop them off. And, you know, and my neighbor, she always goes, we go with each other because it's just more fun that way. We get in the office for them to sign, and the office says, you have the wrong kind of visa, we will not give you the apartment.
Oh no.
Letter code. And so here they are with their 8-year-old child, and it's evening, and it's a Saturday, I think, the next day.
Oh.
Bad timing. So we took. We're like, well, we can't just leave them on the sidewalk. Because normally that's what the drop-off is. You just take them there and help them get checked in. And a lot of times we help them, you know, go through the checklist for the apartment and things that they would know how to do. But we took them back home, and my neighbor fed them impromptu supper.
Aww.
I quickly cleaned out a room to make a bedroom. So I guess I have. Mm-hmm. I guess I have hosted because I actually ended up sleeping in my house, which I was fixing up that room while she was feeding them, and then they ended up staying for several days, and my neighbor like took them back to find new apartments.
Oh my!
I watched their kid while she did that. So and it was. It all ended up well. She ended up teaching the husband how to drive, how to get his license. Not how to drive, how to get his license. That was another interesting story. Never doing it. I guess driving rules in China are very different from here.
Yeah.
That's another story. Anyway, it was a bigger job, but a much more impactful
job. Well. So you could speak to people on extemporaneous hosting. You and your neighbor, what a wonderful thing God pulled off between the two of you. How wonderful. Thank you. And teaching people to drive, my own personal recommendation is don't do it. And here's the argument I use. Hire a professional driving instructor. Yes, it's expensive, but if you do not hire a professional driving instructor to teach you, I guarantee you'll spend the same amount of money at the body shop within the first year. And most of the time that falls on deaf ears. So, yeah. Anybody else have an experience you'd like to share? Bruce, I'll bet you have several that you could share.
One that comes to mind was a Chinese student. You may know that now there's been a change. We used to have lots and lots of Chinese students, and it's different now. You'd be more likely to have an Indian student. But years ago, I had a guy from China named Chen Shi, and he was one of the earliest of the undergraduate students back in the 90s. We all had graduate students here. And he came to my house, picked him up at the airport, was assigned by my body. And he had a dorm contract. And so after a few days in my house, he asked me, look, can I work here instead of the dorm?
Yeah. Oh, my.
And so I said, sure, but there may be a penalty. And we talked over to you, and they said, okay, you give up your deposit, but you don't have to pay any monthly fees. So he moved in. And the other interesting thing about him was he's very good at electronics. And so at his Aaron's apartment in Hangzhou, he set up a satellite dish, and nobody knew whose apartment that satellite dish was connected to, so that they could freely watch TV shows from Taiwan. And so they saw, oh, there's more than one political party in Taiwan, and oh, they have religious programs, you can learn about the Bible. So when he came here, he was already kind of prepped and kind of open to spiritual things. And so the next stage for him was I started introducing him to different churches and different Bible studies. And when I took him to the Chinese church, once he heard a hymn in Chinese, I just looked at him and tears started coming down his cheeks.
Wow.
And he wasn't quite ready to accept the Lord at that point, but I did introduce him to George Chow, who's now in Texas Bible study. And so he went to that for about a year, and he still wasn't open, but eventually he got a job, got a master's degree, came back, got another job, and by the time his second job, he joined a church and became very faithful in Michigan. And he's back in Shanghai now. I'm still in touch with him. So that's a nice story.
Bruce makes several good points. First of all, being flexible really helps. And knowing what you have at hand and what you don't have at hand. Hospitality involves offering what you do have, not what you don't have. And just the experience of two neighbors working together offering what they did have is a good experience. Good example of that. And I know that Bruce has a big heart and a big house that's within walking distance of campus, another big plus for his hospitality. But Bruce made a very good point that often having a student come to faith in Christ can be a multiple input process that can take years. Now, we have had people who the very first time they heard the gospel said, yes, that's for me, and they committed themselves to Christ. But I just tell you that to alert you to the fact that that's rare. That's very rare. So it's not impossible, but it's rare. Remember, though, our job as hosts or hostesses is to offer care for the people for their practical needs, which would mean food, a bed, perhaps a place to study, maybe transportation to and from campus until they learn the bus lines or get connected to where the campus bus can provide all the transportation they need. Who has taken somebody to the grocery store to do grocery shopping? Okay. Do either any of you want to share that experience?
A long trip.
A long trip, okay.
Not a very eventful event, but she did study everything. And it's good because your international guests will tell you what's authentic when they come to Columbus, whether it's restaurants or grocery stores. So we found a good Indian grocery store. I've taken them there a few times and I'm calling them. Yes, it's been nice to some of our airport tickets were particularly, we've been able to stay in contact and have a relationship.
Oh, good.
Do you want to come over this weekend? Again, I know I'm sorry, I'm still being good, but we're trying to keep contact.
Well, you bring up a wonderful point, and that is that sometimes the students will want to reciprocate and host you. My housemate and I have experienced that a number of times. After we host them, especially if they live in the neighborhood, and we live right next door to University Village Apartments, which is often the first-year choice for many international students, they will invite us to their home to have a meal. And that's so fun. I really enjoy that. I have made the mistake in the past of thinking I have to be the lady benevolent and do all the giving. And then God used several people in my life to say, if you want to give in a more 360-degree way, receive. Receive with enthusiasm and gratitude. So I had to learn that, but God has helped me do that. Bruce, do you want to say some more things about your hospitality experiences or your trip experiences? And you can come up, use the mic if you want.
I was just going to say, if you do host somebody overnight, there's three things that they want to do right away. Maybe some of you already know what those three are. Can you guess the first one?
No.
They want to go to the get their cell phone set up.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Bruce is thinking farther down the line than 10 minutes after they walk in the door.
And so again, like I said, nowadays you're more likely to get Indian students, and so I assumed like the Chinese students, they would want to go to AT&T store. But it turned out that the best deal that Indian students had figured out was T-Mobile, which was like half the price of AT&T. So that's the first big one. The second big one is bank account. Again, Chinese students will go right to Chase because they're so good with international stuff. But there are a number of banks that don't require a minimum balance and stuff like that, so there are some other choices for banks. And then the third one is just getting their OSU ID card. Yeah. And so they usually want to do those things right away.
Right,
so
what kind of things are helpful?
And I just wanted to mention, I don't know if there's going to be a lot of homestay opportunities until summer or so, but the students, they really appreciate visiting American homes and seeing how Americans live. And I even, just a few weeks ago, there were some students from Dayton that were stopping in Columbus briefly, and a guy ran in from the van and said, I just wanted to see an American home. But if anybody is interested, I've got a number of students that I've invited over this year that are still new students. And if anybody's interested in going out to a restaurant or hosting a repeat student or two, let me know and I can help set something up for you.
Okay, yes.
I have a question.
Sure.
Do any of you host from farther away? Because, like, I don't live close to campus, so therefore, you know, them just coming over is not really, you know, happening much. And I feel like it, you know, you have to make, I mean, it probably won't be much spontaneous. Yeah, not much spontaneous, right? Or I mean, if they say, can you take me to the grocery store? Well, okay, I don't have to drive for 45 minutes, but, you know, that kind of thing. What kind of hospitality is good for people who are central?
Bruce?
I just think you could collaborate with others. So there's somebody that could meet you halfway, that could drop in some students. I think there's ways to collaborate.
How do you connect, make those
kinds
of connections? Because I don't know anybody I find.
Talk to Karen.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I suggest you.
It's a distance away, even an hour from home. So it worked well for us to do day trips. I pick them up and, you
9 in the morning and take them back in the evening and have, you know, two meals together, see something in our community, and now overnight trips. So we hosted it for you guys at Christmas. We hope to reconnect with them maybe even today before we head back home. So just email contact, yeah, just maintaining a friendship, but they don't expect us to come and, you know, run up to the store.
Yeah, yeah,
they know it's a good thing. But we've had one meal contact.
Thank you.
To drive students to your house. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, not that we can't drive, but it's just, you know, running to do errands is not really going to work. So
well. Yeah. You can always call the IFI office and ask to speak to Z for Zachariah, who is the volunteer coordinator, and he could probably connect you with somebody who'd be willing to participate in that. As Anita was talking, I realized probably the farther you live from Columbus, the less likely it is that you'll know ethnic grocery stores and ethnic restaurants. Now, don't think you can't be hospitable, but just as one of you said, helping a student walk through the aisles of an American grocery store is going to be a welcome educational opportunity, because frankly, the buses that they have access to go to American grocery stores. They don't go to ethnic groceries. And I wish there would be an ethnic grocery store right next to campus, but I don't think there is. Yes?
I was going to say, we live in Dublin, and there are a lot of Indians and Hindus that live in Dublin and have businesses and restaurants. So we all happen to host an Indian student one year. And just driving up and down Sawmill, it was like, oh,
yeah,
I can go there. And it was,
yeah,
you know, so that was very effective.
Yeah. One Asian grocery that is on the bus line, in fact, there are two. One is just right across the high street from the Giant Eagle that's just north of campus. It's called Yao Li. And I think 4C is still in business.
Oh, it went out? Yeah.
No, it's on Crestview Market.
Yeah. 4C probably is. And then up at Morrison High, there is, oh, help me out, the Korean groceries.
The Korean, yeah, I don't know what it's called.
Oh, it's a very un-Korean. Lotte Market, which doesn't sound Korean to me at all. But anyway, they have good Korean food there. They even have a little deli. So you can buy prepackaged meals there, too. That's at Morrison High on the northeastern corner of that intersection. It's kind of set back behind High Street, east of High.
Yeah,
it's... If you would face TJ's and you're standing on High Street, it would be off to your left, but set back from the road quite a bit. It's a big store. Okay.
The Indian one on Sawmill Road is called Patel Brothers.
Yeah, and that's a big store too. If you want an adventure in seasonings, ask an Indian friend to take you to Patel Brothers and explain what they use all these different seasonings for. I never saw such a display of spices in my life, and big packages, not the little bitty boxes that you get from the American grocery, but big packages, but not at big prices, which is delightful. Another all around the world grocery that Jesse and I just went to yesterday is Saraga International Foods on the corner of Mays and Morse. you can get food from almost any country in the world at Saraga. So, and taking your friend to an American restaurant could be a fun experience for both of you. You may have your favorite American restaurant. Take them sometime. But it's also a huge treat for them to go to their own ethnic restaurant. Yeah, and boy, I keep hearing of more and more. There's one called Nazareth. It's up off 161, which is Palestinian food. There's a number of good Indian restaurants. There's, I think, I'm not sure about this, but maybe an Uzbeki restaurant someplace. Yeah. Okay. I'll tell you one thing you have to get used to when you have internationals in your home. One, don't assume they know how to use the bed that you've prepared for them. I have found more than once my guest asking if I have a warm blanket that they can use, and I think, I thought I put enough warm blankets on the bed. Turns out they're sleeping on top of the bedspread. And okay, I do have some more warm blankets, but you could even open the bed up and show them how an American would get into the bed. It may be a very different experience for them. So the other thing that used to always take me by surprise and shock me, actually, was what I called the dirty dish syndrome. You offer them a cup to get some water, they'll take the cup straight to the faucet and rinse it out. And the first time that happened, I thought, you mean I didn't wash that cup very well? And then I discovered almost every international I've hosted will do the same thing. And Bruce is smiling. What's your experience with
some more?
Yeah, even a plate, even silverware, they will get up and wash, rinse them off before they use them. And at first I was, what is going on? And then I realized that many people live in settings, especially urban settings, where the air is not very clear. So it's probably a good habit to develop where you don't know what's fallen on that dish since you put it in the cupboard. So I'd say do what trainers for teachers in China advise. Put the best construction on the situation. That is, attribute to them the very best motive for doing what they do. One other little hint, show them how to close the shower curtain. Otherwise, you may be using your throw rug to mop the floor. That is helpful when people come from a culture where the whole bathroom is basically the shower stall and the drain is in the middle of the floor. So the concept of closing the shower curtain is a new experience. So, any other questions or comments you'd like to share? Yes, Jesse. Jesse, could you take your mask off? Thank you.
I'm curious as to what boundaries those foods should be before sometimes showing someone else to use the shower plastic may actually seem very condescending.
Okay.
Even if you're showing someone how to enter it, but someone who knows. I feel like it's very delicate and you're right, but at the same time it's like so delicate that someone may
Okay. I'm so glad you asked that question, Jesse. Very helpful. Maybe as you take them through the house, just ask them, do you have any questions about how you'll use something here?